Hello, listeners. Jordan here. I just want to let you know that you can listen to Nighttime early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You are listening to the Nighttime Podcast.
Hello, listeners. In this episode, we're going to continue the discussion we began in our prior episode, but in a completely different way. After releasing the Nighttime episode covering Bernie Herman and the murder of Braden Herman, I was able to get in touch with someone very close to the story. In fact, they appeared in the prior episode via the news clips that were included. Braden's brother Brett contacted the show after the release of the episode and expressed appreciation in Braden's story being shared in this format, and also expressed a desire to share some of his experiences and his thoughts on the case with you, the listeners of Nighttime. And that's what we're going to get into here tonight. In this episode of Nighttime, we'll be joined by Brett to discuss the story of Bernie Herman and the murder of his brother, Braden.
Corporal Herman used his power as an RCMP officer. He used an RCMP vehicle. The murder was committed with an RCMP handgun, almost execution style.
Braden's brother says he's angry his own family is now torn apart.
This is really unfair. I don't know if we'll ever find out the answers to what really happened.
All right, just to start, Brett, why don't you tell me a bit about your relationship with Braden? Like, I know he's referred to as your half-brother. Like, did you guys grow up together, or what's the connection?
We have the same mom, different dads, but I was 3 years old. My mom had two twins, my brother Braden and Blade. Blade's passed away in 2015. Yeah, she had twins, and then she was still, like, in school, so she was she couldn't really do it, but she was young, so we ended up just giving them up for adoption, and then luckily a family friend took them in and raised them up.
Oh, wow, so even though they were given up for adoption, you were still raised, like, kind of in the same sort of family, because it's a family friend who raised them.
Yeah, we're still in touch to this day. We still talk.
But it wasn't like a secret or something. Like, you knew he was your brother being raised by it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen pictures growing up of us together and my mom and whatnot.
Interesting. So what was, what is your relationship like with Braden? Like, were you close, like, you know, traditional brothers would be? Or were you, like, friends? Or like, what was the relationship growing up?
We've had a really good I mean, he himself was in a kind of a, he was still figuring his life out, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'll have a disagreement like anybody else, but I mean, it is what it is. I was always there when he needed me, and I was just trying to be an older brother, I guess.
A lot of Braden's story, I only know the little bits and pieces that come out in the news reports. But one thing that I've heard said a lot is that Braden's twin brother's death has had a big impact on him. And it maybe kind of shook his life a little bit at the time that it happened. Could you tell me a little bit about that when Braden's brother passed away? What impact you saw that have on him?
Well, I mean, when our brother passed away, it was definitely wasn't easy. I mean, it's never easy losing somebody you love, somebody you grew up with. And it's impacted him a great deal. I mean, he was like, that's his twin brother. I mean, they were always together. You never seen one without the other. So, my brother didn't really talk too much about his true feelings, but, I mean, I can tell when something was bothering him or whatever. If something was on his mind, you could tell by his body language, just the way he presented himself. Sometimes I would catch him, he was feeling off, something wasn't right. Like I knew it, but I didn't know it, if that makes any sense.
No, I understand. And, you know, a lot of the news coverage of Braden's death didn't get into, like, in great deal his personality or what he was like. So maybe could you tell us a bit about him? Like, what kind of guy was Braden?
He was was a good kid. I mean, he was just going through some things, and he's not a bad kid. He wasn't into anything like that he shouldn't have been. Aside from maybe a little bit of socializing with friends, like drinking, going out, whatever. Mm. But he was always a good kid. I mean, for as long as I can remember, he's never been in trouble. Mm. Maybe things to do with like him partying out, whatever.
Yeah,
like when he was younger, that's about it, I would say. Mm.
Before all of this happened, like at what point did you learn about Bernie Herrmann and his connection with Braden? Like, was this a surprise to you, or was this, or did you know about this connection between the two of them?
Okay, so I knew about this first probably since, let's see, I was living in a different place a couple of years ago, in the same city, but different place. And I lived there until, I think, 2 years ago. And I moved in there in 2017, late 2017, early 2018. And I was there for a while, and then my brother came to stay with me for a few months while he was still trying to, like I said, figure stuff out. There was actually a time when Bernie Herrmann came to my house unannounced, just showed up there. At the time, my brother was hiding his, he used to try to hide his vehicle because he didn't want Bernie to know where he was. He was like trying to avoid him. Mm. And for whatever reason, he knew that my brother was there. And this is when my brother was trying to ignore his phone calls and texts, whatever. But he even went as far as hiding his vehicle like a block away from my house. I don't know how he knew it was like a block away. He must have been circling the block, looking around the area or whatever. But he knew my brother was at my house. He came to my front door, knocked on the door. I had footage of this incident one time, mm-hmm. but I've upgraded surveillance at my residence, so I no longer have those videos. But he showed up there unannounced, asking me for Braden. I told him, Bernie's here. I said, he's like, just tell him I'm sleeping. And I told him that, and I can't remember what he said. Like, it wasn't really a big deal to me at the time. I wasn't aware that things were the way that they were. Mm-hmm. So he kind of just told me, go wake him up. I need to talk to him. And then, I went and woke up my brother, and they exchanged a few words, and then Bernie left and carried on with his day.
Was Bernie in like police uniform when this happened?
No, plain clothes. Looked like a normal person. I knew what he was driving.
If you're looking for a smoking gun, I can absolutely guarantee you will not find it.
In October 2001, a series of letters filled with a deadly powder called anthrax were dropped into the U.S. mail system. What started as an unprecedented case turned into an unsettling mystery. Who sent these deadly letters, and why? From Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment, I'm Josh Dean, and this is Cover Up Season 4, The Anthrax Threat, available now.
Now, at this point, though, when this happens, did you know Bernie to be a friend of your brother's, or like a boyfriend sort of thing? Like, what did you know about their relationship?
Okay, so at first I was kind of weary about him because I've heard things about him that aren't very good things. Mm-hmm. I kind of knew what kind of person he was just from other people's interactions with him. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people are from back home where we all are from. He uses his power to his full advantage, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. He does things to make other people's day not so good. He knows how to poke the fire, I guess, with some people. He wasn't a nice guy. Bernie, at first, I was weary about him, but I just, at the end of the day, you can tell somebody to stay away from someone, but they're still going to do what they're going to do. So yeah. That was that.
let me ask you this. As you said, like, you knew what kind of person he was, and people from back home kind of knew of Bernie. What was his reputation? Was it as like a hard ass cop, or as like a sexual predator? Like, what was the relation or the reputation he had?
He was just like what you said there. He's just like, he's bigger than everybody else. He doesn't care who you are, where you're from, whatever. He would just be a, sorry, I was about to say something, but he was just, wasn't a nice guy. He would let it be known that he wasn't a nice guy. Yeah. He would, you know, just because he's wearing a police badge, he thinks that he can say or do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how he is.
Yeah. And so when he comes to your door, or when he's connected to your brother in, like, obviously a personal way, did you know that his relationship with your brother was sexual at times? Like, did you see them as like, you know, like boyfriends or something? Or how did you view this connection between the cop you dislike and your brother?
I eventually kind of, like, you know, I put the pieces together, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I did catch on with little things, them being together, the amount of times that they were, him staying at his house. I mean, it was all very, very, it wasn't normal, I guess.
Yeah. So when Braden was staying at Bernie's house and staying with him, you would have known about that, right? Like, what was your thought? You were just kind of uncomfortable because your brother was, you know, staying at the house of like the local prick cop, or like, what did you think about Braden staying with him like that?
I mean, like I said, I can say whatever I want to my brother. My brother's still going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I told him I didn't like it, but I mean, he's still going to do what you're going to do. But, he stayed with him for a bit, and then, I started noticing things. My brother started coming around, and sometimes he would try to avoid me because he had like a black eye or scratches, scrapes. One time he had a fractured wrist, I believe. He had a just things of that nature that, you know, like when someone's in an altercation with someone else, just little wounds or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started noticing things like that.
Wow.
But so, I would try to ask him about it, and he would always try to not get into it, not talk about what happened.
Yeah. Now, it's, of course, we hear Bernie's side of so much of this stuff and Bernie's wife's side of it. And a lot of that side says, you know, Braden was the aggressor and was violent with Bernie. But did you know Braden to be like a violent, aggressive guy?
Yeah, my brother, you know, my brother is not perfect. He's not, I'm not saying he's not a harmless person, but yeah, he wouldn't just go out and try to harm people for no reason. Mm-hmm. You had to be provoked or something. Mm-hmm. For anyone that's known my brother knows that he wouldn't just go out of his way to go make your life hard or whatever. You had to have provoked him.
Mm. Okay.
But he was a big kid, but he definitely was a softie. Mm-hmm. Was not a fighter. But you know, if it came to, he would probably do what he would have to do. But yeah, he's definitely a big softie.
Let me ask you this. I saw one news report with you, and this was something filmed, I think, by Global News just days after Braden's death. And it seemed at that point when they're interviewing you that you seem to have no idea what happened that led to Braden's death. So let me ask you, like, how did you learn that something had happened to him and that he died? Like, do you remember getting, I don't know if it was a call from the police or what, but like, how did you learn that Braden was killed?
I learned from my brother's adopted sister's boyfriend.
Okay.
I told me just out of nowhere, and he kind of just said, hey, I gotta tell you something, you know, you're not gonna like it. And right there I knew what it was.
you knew it was Braden. And did you think from the beginning was the idea that Bernie would be involved in some way?
I mean, I had an idea, but I didn't go out and say it right away.
Okay. So you hear the news that something happened, news you're not going to like about Braden. What was the story you got from the beginning? Because I'm just thinking, if someone called me and said something happened to your brother, like, I would think, I don't know, there was a car accident or some kind of accident. But in this case, when they tell you this, how did you learn the magnitude of what actually happened?
I got the call that my brother was not around, not with us anymore, and that they do have the person in custody, which was Bernie, that they were doing their investigation.
Did they tell? They said they had someone in custody. Did they tell you who it was, or was it just not? No need. You knew.
I knew who it was from the get-go. I knew that when they said that they had somebody in custody, I knew right away who it was. You didn't have to tell me. I just knew.
Wow. Now, it wasn't long after Bernie's arrest that the trial starts. Did you know anything about what happened leading up to the trial? Like, or sitting in the courtroom, is that when you learned exactly what happened to your brother?
I did not learn what actually happened until the day of the last court date that we just had.
Wow. Okay.
I had an idea of what went on, but like, I wasn't there, so I just know what that they said,
because Bernie will eventually plead guilty, and with that comes he gives his side of the story of what happened. So it wasn't until that point that you actually learned the details of what happened in the wooded area that day. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is there anything that went on behind the scenes during the trial that you'd want to share?
I don't know. Bernie's just painting this picture that he's the perfect person and making my brother out to be the bad guy.
Yeah, I guess it's hard when there's one person standing to tell the story of what happens. Braden's side of the story seems to get lost in all of this, it seems. And then, of course, Bernie has his wife's side of the story as well. And a lot of people question her role in this, where she was with Braden the night before his murder and brought alcohol to him the morning of his murder. Yet there seems to be very little out to the public about, you know, her side of things. Do you have any thoughts on her role in this, if she has one?
She's... I don't know. I don't know what her role was. I don't know much about this woman aside from the fact that she's from the same place that we're from too. She's from a community that's not that far away from where we're from. Mm-hmm. She's not a nice person. My sister sometimes will have interactions with her out in public, and she's not a nice person. She will basically say whatever that this Bernie tells her to do. She'll do whatever he says for her to do, because this woman, she depends on this man. So she's going to do what she's going to do to defend, to make her, to defend this Bernie, just so that she's okay. Mm-hmm. She's gonna make him look make my brother look like the bad person, make Bernie look good. They are married. I don't know what their marriage is like.
Yeah.
I know that she's not a nice person. And, I mean, the truth will all come out eventually. Sooner or later, it's all going to come out. Mm-hmm. Anybody that I've ever spoken to regarding the people that are involved with this case, the people that were around my brother, I hear things about. I don't know these people personally. I would not like to know them.
I bet.
Yeah, they're not nice people. And they for sure, definitely, feel that they are above everyone else. And yeah, that's all I have to say about her.
You know, having sat through the trial and hear at least some version of the story come out from Bernie, does any of this help you dealing with the loss of now your second brother that you've lost in the last several years? Like, does I don't know if I would call it justice, but does the fact that Bernie is behind bars help you in any way?
Oh, not at all. I mean, he's a cop. I imagine he will probably get, I don't want to say lightest, but he won't get the sentence that he should be given the circumstances of this case, what happened, how it went, what he did to him, and how long he's been doing it to him for. He will not get the justice that we all want. And that's just a sad fact that we have to live with in Canada. Our justice system is very, very broken. Not only for myself, but for the countless numbers of people that have been through my situation or similar situations for that matter. I just don't think we'll ever get the full end of justice on this. And I won't be surprised if he's out in public within the next few years, to be honest.
Wow. Well, before we wrap it up, anything else you want to tell us about Braden or your experiences going through his trial or anything else about this that you want to share?
Not really. Just that we all miss my brother. We all love him. And we'll be here for him. Always pray for him. I wish I could have did more for him growing up. We missed that too.
I want to thank you for joining Brett and I for this episode of Nighttime. I'd again like to end this by sending condolences to everyone involved in this story and expressing my hope for a sentencing decision that Braden's family is satisfied with. Now I'm going to start wrapping up this episode, but before we part, I'm going to end with thanks. First, a big thanks to Brett Herman for discussing his family's tragedy with me and with you, the listeners of Nighttime. A shout out to Monty Data, who contributes the music for this episode, and LJ from the Dystopian Simulation podcast, who provides my intro and outro voiceovers. And then lastly, but most importantly, a massive thank you goes out to each and every one of you listening to Nighttime, as without your interest and your support, this show would be as pointless as it would be impossible. Now on the topic of support, let me thank the newest subscribers to the premium feed. Laura and Ryan, I appreciate you. And for anyone else who'd like to support the show, you can help us out here in a variety of ways. First of all, a premium feed subscription costs just a couple dollars a month, and that money funds the creation of the show. But the premium feed also gives you the episodes 2 days early, gives them to you ad-free, and gives you access to a full back catalog of Nighttime episodes. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in, you can go premium right now at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. And even if you don't want to go premium, you can still support the show by simply sharing this episode on social media and letting all your like-minded friends know what we're doing here. If anyone listening has any story ideas, wants to give feedback on the show, or would like to submit a question or comment to be responded to in an upcoming episode, you can do all that and more at nighttimepodcast.com/contact. I look forward to hearing from you. But until then, take care of each other, hug your loved ones tight, and let me know if you see anything weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.